Welcome to episode 181 of Both Down, the number one Blood Bowl podcast.
On a Monday, running late.
On a Monday when we actually remember, huh? That does come in handy. This is Steve, a.k.a. Kilowoggy. With me, as always, is Scott Prime, despite his best intentions.
Yeah, I welcome everybody to the third week of the show. We're still keeping our promise. We're recording on Monday, but I almost screwed it up. I came home today from work, did some errands around the house, and then I'm like, why do I have all this free time? And I kept telling myself, like, I need to go to the park and walk. And I was like, why am I in such a hurry when I could just walk later when it's cooler outside and not 100 degree temperatures? And so I read some comics and did a few more things around the house, then went walking. And then in the middle of the walk, Steve's like, we still recording tonight? I was like, oh, yeah.
That's
so here we are.
The Cubs game got postponed until tomorrow, so I have that to watch. Watch them lose, I guess.
Yeah, they're really AKA shit in the bed, aren't they?
They are treading water. I mean, it's like 50-50 since like a month and a half or whatever. However, Milwaukee has just decided to explode.
Yeah, I know. They're like, what, 14-1 or something like that, the last 15 games?
Yeah, they had a 14-game win streak, and before that they had a 12-game or something, and
yeah, that really helps your season in baseball.
Yeah, July 2nd, I think the Cubs were six and a half games ahead of them, and now they're 10 games back. So, well,
that's my Cubbies.
Yep, that tells you something.
Oh.
Anything Blood Bowl besides what we're getting into? I mean, it's only been a week, so.
Right. No, I mean, besides what we're going to talk about, no.
Yeah.
I mean, did I talk about the family stuff that we've been dealing with?
I don't know. I mean,
did I talk to you about the family stuff I've been dealing with?
I don't know. Which family stuff? There's always something.
No. So last week, my dad, his retina detached.
Oh, shit.
Maybe I found that after we recorded. I cannot
guess
remember.
So, yeah.
Because if you don't remember me talking about this off the air, then...
Definitely not.
Yeah, his... I can't remember now, his right or left, but one of his retinas detached. And so, in case anybody doesn't know, I am just barely over 18 years older than my father. Yes, I was conceived when my dad was in high school, and technically I watched him graduate, even though I don't remember it. Born in March, dad graduated in May. You can do the math. Anyways.
On the opposite end, my dad was 40 when he had me. When my
right.
mom had me.
And I had my kids at 33, so I'm right in the middle. My dad is also adopted, and he's never, ever looked up his birth parents for any reason. He's like really stern and like, the parents who raised me are my parents. Why would I go look these other people up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Which is fine. I'm fine with that stance.
Yeah, I totally get it.
But the window to my future on dad's side is like, whatever happens to him, I'm like, set the clock, because in 18 years, it's going to happen to me. And so they've like put a, I'm going to say stuff that I don't know if it's 100% accurate. This is me telling the story from my stepmom who heard it from the doctor. They like put an air bubble in your eye, I guess, to like force out all the extra liquid and stuff that's
okay.
Forms when I guess the retina detaches or whatever. Anyway, so they put like an air bubble in your eye and you had to like I believe he's laying on his left side of his face, and only like once per hour can he like sit up and move his head around a little bit, and then he goes back down. Like, I think he has like a 5-minute window to do this. Like, you better go pee or poop or whatever you need to do.
Jeez.
Because you need to put your head back down, because I guess that helps with the healing of it if they can heal it and then
get the blood flow there. I'm sure, yeah.
Anyways, and then he's gone back like 6 times in the week, because they keep saying, we'll come back in, we'll check it, see if we need to schedule surgery. The good news is yesterday they said, we're probably going to have to do surgery Wednesday. he went in today, and I guess he made a lot of progress, and they were like really happy with that. So they did not schedule surgery. So we're hoping that he can avoid that, because we heard that once you have surgery on a detached retina, you have to actually like be face down for several weeks.
Oh, damn.
So I don't know if you get one of those like weird massage tables with the little hole in it to put your face through. But he can't even like watch TV because they said like we don't want the stress of your good eye overworking and all this stuff. So he's like been listening to TV shows.
God.
So like it sounds like hell.
Well, I'm sure he's old enough. Well, he might not be. Get if he has YouTube or anything, old radio shows. They're very entertaining.
Well, I think he's been listening to documentaries and stuff like that. But yes, I will suggest that. And of course, you know, like there's not much we can do because if we go out there, I mean, he's going to want to visit. So it's,
right.
And even the stepmom's like, it's probably really best that you stay. We're fine. We don't need, you know, we don't need anything right now. We will holler. So anyways, it's just been crazy. And Jennifer's mom's been in and out of the hospital for heart stuff, so
it's the time of fun medical shit, huh?
Yeah, I mean, our parents are just getting older. This is part of it, and I don't like it, but
yeah,
it's part of it. Anyways, that's not Blood Bowl related. So that is what I've been up to as of late. Again, we're gonna just record this all in one big take, right, Steve? Is that correct? Okay.
I think this one's going to be pretty short, too.
Yeah, this one probably will, because this is going to cover, this week's going to cover the trip to Lubbock that me and Gary Brown went on. We met our friend Dylan there. And then next week, we will conclude the month of August with me going down to the Lone Star Open frontline gaming event and playing in two tournaments there with Gary as well. And Steve, you went to something
in Colorado Springs, the yearly Budweiser Babes and Prayers.
Budweiser Babes?
It's what it's called. Arthur puts it on. Okay. It's half price inducements for everybody.
Oh, okay. Well, cool.
So everybody brings star players.
I got you. So we will talk about those tournaments next week.
Oh, but this week, Oracle Cup completely sold out again. So they're at 328 people.
Oh, I heard 336.
I don't know which. I thought it was 28, but either way.
Oh, okay. Well,
some multiple thereof.
You might be right.
Either way, if you missed out and you're wanting to go, there are still squads that register that are not full just because they wanted to make sure that they could get in. You can go to amoraclecup.com and see those squads. And if you don't know who those people are, you can look on the NAF, and you could possibly contact Sean, but I'm sure he's got better stuff to do. You can go to the Discord and post there, because everyone's been doing that too.
Correct. Oh, I have the wrong stats pulled up here. I was going to talk about the wrong tournament too, so I'm running around with like a...
So while you're doing that, I've been watching Severance. Do you know about that show?
Severance. No, not at all.
It's on Apple, and it's the concept is, I guess, in the future, but modern time, whatever. A company has found a way to sever you whenever you go to work. So if you sign up for the company, you go down an elevator, and all your memories before that are gone, and you're this new person that only exists in the company. So it's been enjoyable. It's gotten ton of awards, tons of nominations. I can understand where that's coming from. It's kind of high concept and well acted and all this fun stuff. John Turturro is on it, and I love him. Christopher Walken showed up, so that was cool. It's starting to run into the problem I have with like zombie shows, where I just can't think about it anymore. Because the logic just doesn't make sense when you have a giant company and there's like one security guy and they don't think to turn off his card if he loses it.
Right.
Yeah. Or, you know, only one security guy and That's it. If he's gone, we don't replace him for a couple of months. It's just nobody's there. Yeah. Anyways.
There's a lot of shows like that. It keeps me really enjoying a lot of things. And yeah. I know I'm supposed to just sit back and relax.
Exactly.
I can do that when I'm watching like the regular show.
Mm-hmm.
But some things are just like, come on.
I just found out today that the guy who wrote and directed Barbarian and now Weapons.
I keep hearing a lot of good things about this person.
He's from the Whitest Kids You Know. Hmm. He's one of that crew. And okay. I guess Weapons came from when Trevor Moore died by an accident in 21. That kind of pushed him towards writing it. So this big up-and-coming horror guy is a dork from Whitest Kids You Know. I just find that very entertaining.
That is interesting. All right. I have my stuff pulled up, I believe.
Okie doke.
So I'm just going to... You want me just to get into it?
Yeah, just go ahead.
Okay. So we planned on traveling to Lubbock, Texas. If you live in Oklahoma City, you got about a 5.5 hours, 6 hour drive, depending on how many times you stop. Me and Gary has turned this trip into kind of like a comic book hunting adventure, like we do with most of our trips now, with the excuse to go see friends and play Blood Bowl. But really the trip and the playing Blood Bowl is kind of secondary, but here we go. So we stopped at, I think it's called Cosmic. It's not Cosmic Collectibles. I guess I should look these up really quick. Wichita Comic Book Stores. That way I have these right. Just talk about something, Steve.
I don't got nothing. Is this before or after you ate weird food?
You ate weird food?
You.
Oh, I did eat some weird food.
European pecan clusters or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so we left. We left more that morning with the idea to get to Galaxy Books and Comics that's in Wichita Falls by 11 o'clock to look around there. We always seem to find something there, like either we're hunting, looking for stuff. And I even told Gary, he's like, you think we're going to find anything? And I was like, yeah, one of the series that I'm looking for, the last few books, we're going to find there. And I'm going to be really happy. I don't know which series, but I'm gonna sew up a series that I can finally read. Sure enough, Galaxy Books and Comics, we found quite a few things. I was trying to really keep a tight budget this time around and not go crazy. But I found the last like three issues I needed for, and you're going to laugh. Do you remember the El Diablo series from DC Comics in like 88?
With the Western-looking guy? Yeah.
Western-looking guy, right.
Had a great outfit.
It was written by Gerald Jones, art by Mike Parabek.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Mike Parabek, and I always remember Gerald Jones from Green Lantern. I didn't think his stories were bad, so... I found a whole bunch of those like in a dollar bin, and then I picked up the rest of these this weekend. So I was really happy for that. I have not read it yet.
Yeah, let me know how it is, because I always liked the look of it. I just never picked it up.
It only lasted like 16 issues. I have not read it yet. There was some other little tidbit. Oh, we found. Do you remember the old Twisted Tail comics from Pacific Comics?
No.
Early 80s horror comics with like short stories by Richard Corbin and Bruce Jones and stuff like
that.
Twisted Tales. I'm sorry, Twisted Tales.
Did it look like an old EC comic?
Kind of ish.
Okay. You can
you can do a
up.
Search and see if you can find them. It's the same company that made like Alien Worlds. They did Twisted Tales.
Alien Legion, you mean?
No, Alien Worlds. Oh. There was a comic called Alien Worlds. Just short stories in there, like 8-page stories, kind of like a heavy metal type format of just like miscellaneous stories changing week to week. Good covers, usually by Dave Stevens or Richard Corbin, stuff like that. Anyways, those books are, 40 plus years old. For some reason, they had like 5 number ones and 5 number twos and I think some number threes all in the dollar box that... we decided to go through the dollar box really quick because I was like, there might be something here because there's way more dollar boxes than before. So of course, you have to find somebody who wants to buy your comic, but those have some little value to the right people.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm not going to say, like, we scored and, you know, we got $50 books for a dollar, but we probably got $20 books for a dollar, but it's just, you got to find the right person who wants the book. Mm-hmm. But they're in good condition and we didn't have them, so we were really, really happy about that. Gary was really happy that I shared my, instead of buying them all for myself. So then we hit the road. When we were in, I can't remember the small town in between. So from Wichita Falls to Lubbock, Texas is like the closest thing I can think of as just desert area. It's not a true desert, but it's, you know, it's not, the scenery's not so great.
Yeah.
We always joke about like taking over a town, one of the small towns while we go through there, or like, could you survive a night out here? Like, could you survive a week here for 10 grand or something like that? And I'm like, no, I'm not built for this. So we always hope we don't get broke down. Anyways, we stopped at this little town where it has the nicest gas station in between, always to fill up our gas tank. And I decided, because I'm that weird guy that likes those like red waxy peanuts in that like red candy wax stuff.
Yeah.
And I've always liked those since a kid. And they had two different ones. They had one the shape of Texas, and they had just a round one. So I decided to get both and give them a shot.
Basically, and, peanut brittle.
It's, huh?
Basically, peanut brittle.
It's not, though. The pink stuff is not peanut brittle
right, consistency. But...
Okay. And it's probably not as sweet and sticky in your teeth, the best way I can describe
it. So peanuts with gunk.
They're called peanut patties, at least around here, so people can look those up if they want. Anyways, one of them was okay, and one of them really kind of sucked. So it shocked me, because I was like, eh. Our adventures continued. We stopped somewhere else at the gas station. I decided to get a cheese stick from one of these also places. I was feeling adventurous that day. And after they smelt... horrible, like flaming hot, horrible, but there was no heat to them. They were like spicy cheese sticks, and, okay. But there was no heat in them. The smell and the taste were night and day different, but I decided like after one, I was like, I'm not eating the other two because it's just not worth it. Not worth my time, the calories or anything else. We then hit Lubbock. We hit Monsters Lair Comics and Star Comics. They have two pretty nice shops there. We always find something there. Looked around. Again, I was being very frugal with my money this time. I did not buy anything at either store, and I was really proud. They did have a Transformers I needed, but they wanted like $55 for it, and I was like, ugh.
Damn. Which one? Like,
68 or 67. So
just a later issue, hard to find.
It is a little bit hard to find. It also has a Jim Lee cover.
Oh, okay.
But they were asking a little bit too much for it.
I would hope so. Yeah.
I tried to bargain them down, and they were like, "No." I offered 30 cash, and they said no. So I walked. We met up with Dylan, our buddy Dylan, who used to play in the league here in Oklahoma at Norman, but he moved away for, you know, college and getting his doctorate and all that stuff in music. He actually is out there at the Texas Tech University and all that stuff. So anyways, we caught him. That's where we stay. He's really nice by letting us stay at his house and stuff. So we went to, I can't remember the pizza place, but it's amazing pizza. I should try to remember it. It's the same place that we went to the time before. It's like this bar that has this really good pizza. We had pizza there that night. We then came home. We went and actually got, there's a great ice cream shop too in there. I should know these by now, but I know where they're at. I can get you there, but I can't remember the name. Anyways, the ice cream shop's really great too. We had those, and then we went home for the evening, and then Gary was tired. So me, Dylan, and his wife stayed up, and we played a game of Quacks of Quiglinburg, and then we played some Camel Up. Then we called it a night because we knew we had Blood Bowl the next day. We didn't realize the Blood Bowl really didn't start till almost like 11:30 the next day. So
that's late.
We get up and have breakfast and everything, and finally go over to the store. They're running three rounds. This is for the Stormcrow. This is at Stormcrow Games. This is for their what they're calling the store championship. So they got one of those kits that had the dice, the blue dice, and the red dice in there, and the little trophy, and that's what they were going to use as awards, the paper awards and all that. So they just used that kit for this type of tournament. Thomas and Bush ran the event. He did all this in tour play. So we had 16 people show up, which I thought was really good, you know, for
Lubbock, yeah.
For Lubbock and a store championship type deal. Our buddy Dylan, he took his Lizardmen. I took Necro, and Gary took his Slan team. And beforehand, we couldn't see what other races were there until Thomas released him the night before. I guess he got everybody's things in, and everybody was coming was going to come. So he released it. So we started, of course, looking at everybody's rosters and making predictions that, oh, my God, I'm going to go 0-3, and I'll be happy if I tie a game. You know, we're all downplaying that we're going to get crushed by the competition and see all these good coaches and good teams here. I played Necro because this was a 1200 build, and there was, I think you could stack one guy, but you got like 8 skills as well.
Okay.
And
now, should we get into why Gary took Slan, or get into that later?
Gary took Slan because that was his first team he ever got painted. And I don't know if you remember this, like 4 or 5 years ago, like he really got into Slan, maybe even longer, but he got a team painted. I think Dustin did it in Oakland Raiders colors.
Yeah.
And it was a metal team. He was really excited about playing them. And of course the new edition came out and, you know, they kind of disappeared to most tournaments.
Yeah, but there was also a multi-day discussion on Scar's Discord.
So we will get into that.
Okay.
But he had no knowledge of that.
Oh, okay.
He did not get into the Scar's Discord until Saturday morning.
Yeah, there was a big back and forth, and no one was really saying that the Frogs are OP. But someone took offense and thought so. Basically, what happened at the end was $50 was put up for, if someone just takes Slan to a tournament, I'll pay him $50.
Right. If they win the whole tournament. And they win it. Yeah. And then I think they were talking smack instead. If anybody takes him to Chaos Cup and wins, I'll buy you whatever team you want, hand paint it.
Yeah, because I was mentioning that I was taking him to Chaos Cup, and I was like, trust me, I'm not going to win it all. So.
I chose Necro just because, like, there's no tiers at this event. Everybody was the same from what I remember. I could be wrong on that now that I'm thinking about it, but I'm trying to see here what the builds were, because it's been a little while.
Yeah, of course.
Or maybe the Necro just fit into a tier that I felt like, oh, I could actually get 2 rerolls and 12 players. That would be actually rare and nice. Because, man, Necro is just, with those 5Ks that they added in the last edition, is just enough sometimes to be like, ugh.
Yeah.
I can either have 11 players and 2 rerolls or nothing. Here we are. Team building rules was 1,200. There was tiers. Tier 1, tier 2, tier 3. And that was just for skills. So everybody got to build a 1,200 point team, or 1.2 million team,
right?
And then based on where your team was is how many skills you got. So for whatever reason, I was happy for this because I agree with it. I expected that Necro to be in tier 1, but they were actually in tier 2, and I was very happy with that. I was like, fine, I'll be happy to take that. There was Megastars, but it had a penalty just like most tournaments are doing. And it also had the thing of, he was given that award called the Top Frog Award because you had the option, probably because of the Scars chat, where you could take a totally not a Slan lineman, end quote. Basically, you replace one of your lineman figures with a Slan lineman that has loner.
Oh, okay.
So everybody could have at least one Slan player. And that was really besides the fact that, like, I couldn't believe I was getting 1,200 gold pieces to build a necro team, I had a necro player. I have the necro team that has, like, some racial positionals. So, like, I just killed a dead high elf. I can use this miniature. I have a dead skink. I can use this miniature. Well, I have a dead slan. So I was like, that's awesome. I'll definitely use necro because I can use my slan model, my zombie slan model as my zombie slan lineman.
Nice.
So I got to do that. So that excited me for stupid reasons. But anyways, my team consisted of, just to go over it really quick, 2 wraiths, 2 ghouls, 2 werewolves, 2 flesh golems, 4 zombies, 3 rerolls, and 1 assistant coach. The skills, I put a tackle on a wraith, guard on a wraith. I had 1 runner with block sure hands. I had 1 runner with wrestle. I had 1 werewolf with block, another naked werewolf, no skills. And then a flesh golem with block and a flesh golem with guard. I know everybody loads up the werewolves. I feel like the werewolves, for me, always get me in trouble, and relying heavily on the werewolves always screws up my game. So I try to worry about the other players and let the werewolves, if they happen to be the targets, they just happen to be the targets. And I mean, they can work well for me. They're a good player, but I try not to, like, double stack my werewolves and stuff like that, because it's always cost me in the past. So I try to stick to my play style, what I feel works for me, because everybody was really shocked that, like, I had a naked ghoul and I didn't, or I'm sorry, a naked werewolf, and I didn't, like, double, you know, put double skills on one of the werewolves and stuff like that. I just didn't want to do it.
They are really good as they are. They do what they need to do. So if you put those skills on someone else, then sure.
And every game, whether I had skills on them or not, people still went after them. So I feel like it took the focus off the other guys, which I was fine with. So anyways, we get there, 16 players, good amount of people. Thomason was a little bummed because he was going to play, and I guess somebody joined in at the last second. But that happens. I understand as a TO. I always want to play myself. So round one, I played a guy named Greg Regan. I've seen him before. He's come to Oklahoma Bowl. He's come to Oklahoma Bowl. We played. He had undead. I don't remember a ton from this matchup. I do know that I won 2-0. So I was already happy from the beginning. I was like, at least I got a win. You know, not doom and gloom like I thought it would be. I'm going to go ahead and update this as we go. Gary, there was also, you could play a all slan lineman team that would qualify for the Stunty Cup. So
that's interesting.
But you could only build them with 900K.
Yeah.
So you had to take the 300K loss if you wanted an all slan team to qualify for Stunty Cup. So it really was only like 12 slan linemen and a couple of rerolls is what it broke down to.
That sounds horrible.
Gary, a slan coach, played Josh Whitley, the other slan coach that was trying the slan stunty team. So they played to a 1-1 tie. And then let's see here. Dylan was around here somewhere, if I could find. Dylan won 2-0 as well. So far, we're all pretty happy. Like, hey, we're doing pretty good. Round two, I got paired up against CQ. He had a really cool gnome team. I don't know what the company that made them was. He had them painted up really well. He also had Rodney Roachbait and Maple Highgrove on the team. I like... As a person who likes to play stunties and preferably like halflings, I'm glad that we have another star player around, like another tree, because, you know, Deeproot, in my opinion, if you're starting to say no megastars, that should go down to stunties as well. That's just my opinion. But so now we have Maple. We have Maple Highgrove. He's pretty cool with the tentacles and all that stuff. And he has 3 movement. He's a decent player.
That's the one you can hit from 2 squares away, right?
I believe so, yes. I believe that was the special power with his vicious vines. And then Rodney Roachbait, being able to just swipe that ball up from an empty square. Yes, it happened in our game. is a real pain in the butt. So anyway, so he had his gnome team. This ended up being a 2-0 game, but it was a very, very tight 1-0 game, barely going into the first, going after the first half, like scored kind of a last play of this first half or whatever. And then the second half, things happen. Some casualties happen here and there. His trees, of course, were doing casualties to me. I mean, it's not Blood Bowl with me not taking injuries no matter what team I play.
Of course.
I took like 4 casualties, I think, this game, which is not good when you only have 12 players. Then I scored a late touchdown to make it 2-0. And this is a game that we had a little bit of time, but CQ had enough and he was like ready to call it. I only bring this up. Remember this, put a pin in this and just, it was fine. I got it at that point. Sure. He was disenfranchised and everything. He was done and he didn't want to play through 1 or 2 turns of just hitting each other back and forth. So we went ahead and just called the game. We both passed our turns and moved on. Round 3, I was 2-0. I got the draw of, Dylan tied his game against John Spurgeon's Ogres. So Dylan was 1-1. I was 2-0, and Gary won his game. So he was 1-1. So we all are still doing pretty good as a collective going into round 3. We went into round 3. I got paired up against Armbar Inc., which was Mike Patterson's gnome team. He was playing them to get him off his list of whatever, 28, whatever 31. Teams there is now. What's that?
31.
31. All right. He was trying to get him off his list of 31, get him over with. He had an amazing team. They were all like little luchador wrestlers. Have you seen pictures of this by chance?
Yeah, a little bit. They do look cool.
They are freaking amazing. And of course he paints every team super well. So like not only were the models really cool, but everything was cool. He had even like Hawk and Animal, the Road Warriors. And I mean, it was really cool to see. He did not have like extra. The 1-star player he had was Carla Von Kill, who's a real pain in the ass. So had to deal with that. This game was super tight. I was up 1-0. I kicked off to Mike in the second half. He was determined to, I guess his thinking was, I'm not going to score quick because Scott has like the werewolves and all this stuff.
Yeah, of course.
And I get that. So like, I think it was more of a thing of like, I'm just going to bunch up. If he wants to come at me, he's going to kind of come through these trees and it's going to be difficult, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, maybe I'll knock some people off Scott's team and hurt them. And then I'll just end up tying this game and we'll see what happens. And I'm like, okay. This game had some amazing moments. I tried to just stay in front of him as much as I could. Of course, the style of Mike is to always, you know, it doesn't matter what he plays. He's just going to get a whole bunch of injuries on you.
No doubt.
And not only, I think I was down 2 people within the first couple of turns, even though I was on offense, which was really frustrating. And then I had like a werewolf who went into the casualty box, but the knockout box and just never, ever wanted to return, which was really frustrating. We got down to the last couple of plays. I had to eventually... I mean, it was tight. I wish I could, like, display to you how the field and everything was. But long story short, I had to take my Slon lineman, leap over a player to get to the 1 square I could get to on a blitz to hit the ball carrier. I actually hit the ball carrier, knocked him down. The ball scattered around. The ball went out of bounds, which is what I'm sorry. It went to an empty square.
Okay.
In the end zone. he had probably six guys in that area, and I think I had like four, maybe five. He was sitting on a reroll, if I remember correctly. I had a reroll, and I was just like, okay, that player's down. I don't have much else to do here. I've already used my blitz. I went ahead and leaped over again with a Wraith, knowing I can't pick up the ball, so it's just going to scatter. My hope really is that it goes out of bounds and gets thrown up field like 10 squares.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All Mike has back there is like Treeman.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the leap. I failed the leap. I went ahead and re-rolled it. Got it. I think I needed a five or six to, you know, get it. And I got the five. Landed. The ball went out of bounds. Exactly what I wanted. At this point, you can see it on Mike's face. He was like, God dang it. Maybe I should have scored the turn before.
Yeah.
The ball went sideways, not straight up the field, sideways, went out of bounds. The ball then goes back the same direction it came, but only two squares. God. I snake eyes the roll. If this thing goes anywhere else, I probably, there's a great chance I win.
Yeah.
It bounces around three times, and finally it bounced to Mike's guy in the end zone, and he rolls a fucking six surrounded by like two of my guys. So we tie the game. I get one more play. We go into, you know, we don't know what's going on. Thomason, during the first half of the game, goes, man, if the world would be right with everything, if somehow Mike and Scott tie, somehow Gary wins big time, wins the tournament, so Dave has to pay the $50 bet off. So Dave Hanrath is the one who, I guess, was talking about if somebody else can win the tournament with Slan, I'll pay them $50 if it's so easy, like if they're overpowered, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Come to the final standings. We check to replay. Of course, everybody was watching the last game, and I hate when everybody crowds around the table and watches everything. I just absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
So, but I get it. I get people wouldn't be doing it if you weren't like at the top table and decent players. So anyways, we check the standings right after it's all done. Me and Gary are we both have 98 points each.
Jeez.
98 points each. He was above me, and I figured through tiebreakers that meant he won. But we asked Thomason, like, what's the tiebreakers? And he said, well, it's most touchdowns. So Gary won because he won his last game against John Spurgeon 3-0.
Oh, wow.
So, couple of things. And we were in my second game with CQ.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing stuff. I was fouled. I think I fouled somebody or something like that. I think we got a bribe in that game, and that's why I was fouling people. There was a few times that he wanted to give me credit for a casualty. And I had to argue, like, no, it's only from blocking. It's not from pushes out of bounds. It's not this. If I would have just shut my mouth, I would have won the tournament. But it's also the wrong thing to do.
Yeah, of course.
So what I'm trying to tell people is make sure you score, because you don't think like something in game two could matter for the end of the tournament. If I just would have nonchalantly not even thought about it, I would have robbed Gary of winning the tournament.
Yeah.
If I would have counted a couple of casualties. But I was like, oh, I don't think so. Let's check. You know, I was arguing, really at the time felt like it was silly to even argue about, but it was a big deal for the tournament. So it's always better to check, because I also don't want to win the tournament. And then later, like, we're talking privately and you go, oh, did that even count? I'm like, oh, crap.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate that. That would bug me. I still didn't like losing through tiebreakers because it's very rare you get to the top table and everything. But I also didn't play a couple of turns against CQ. Would I have hurt any of his players? Probably doubtful. But you, this is another reason, everybody, play out your games.
Yeah. And
I should have done the same thing. I love playing CQ. He's always happy. We laugh, we giggle. It's just a fun experience playing him. And he was done, and I was just happy that I won a game. So I let it be. When I really should have just played it out, like, okay, I understand, but probably just need to play this out. And I didn't. So in some ways I could go, if you would have got two more casualties, Scott, you could have won the tournament. It's your fault. Overall, no, I'm not mad about it. I made the decision. It's that way. But definitely check the rules. Make sure you're scoring everything right. And if you can, play out your turns. It really could matter at the end.
I will say that next week when we talk about my tournament at Colorado Springs, my last game, we did not play the last turn, but there was no way that turn mattered for anything. So
right, I understand.
There are times when, sure, it does not matter. It was also the last game instead of the second game. You know, neither one of us were winning it. We knew what we were doing, so.
Well, and also, I should go back to the, also know what the rules are to the tournament.
Yeah.
I went into this very casual. I did not know that you got bonus points for touchdowns, your bonus points for casualties. I didn't know any of that. Those were all bonus points, too.
I don't usually worry about that because
I know
I'm going to get touchdowns or casualties as much as I can anyways, you know?
Well, and even playing against Mike, you know, we set up for the very last play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I chose not to throw two dice uphill on his treeman. I should have.
Yeah.
Because what if I did knock one over? And what if I rolled double sixes and then I rolled a 10? Then I would have got that, you know. So, again, it's a little bit on me. I'm still not upset. If you told me you're going to go two wins and a tie, I would have been really happy.
Did you get second? Or
I did. So, okay. At the end of it all, Gary got first place. I got second. And then he gave like the dice out to the top eight people, and then he handed out various other awards. I know Mike Patterson got the Stunty Cup. I cannot remember. Honestly, I don't remember the other awards.
That's okay.
What we didn't know either is the store originally, here's the great thing about the tournament. The store didn't order dice. They were supposed to. They didn't. So their entry fees, they basically gave it all back out in credit. So like the top, I think four people got store credit.
Oh, cool.
Gary won like $96 in store credit.
Jesus.
I won $72 in store credit, which kind of upset me because the day before we stopped by the store and I bought a whole bunch of Necromunda dice that if I would have waited a day later, I could have got them all without costing me a dime.
Mm-hmm.
I still got some cool Necromunda like terrain and stuff like that. But like we were shocked because we didn't know that because he's like, top four guys, come see me before you leave. And we're supposed to see you. Yeah, you got $72 credit. What? Like it was weird. But kind of cool. I didn't have dice. I didn't bring D6s. So everybody I played, we shared dice, and I loved every second of it. It never, it's the dumbest thing ever. Even Mike, I was like, dude, you seem to have the hottest dice, but I can't even bitch about it because I'm using the same dice.
Mm-hmm.
And we laughed about that several times. So... I love sharing, at least for sure, the D6s. I just love it. It just takes that little afterthought of like, golly, his dice seem really, really good. And I know they're all the same.
No, I get it.
But it just feels better. anyways, we had a good tournament there. After that, we went over to me, Gary, and John Spurgeon. Dylan went home and ate dinner with his wife. We went over to a place called, I think it's called Spanky's. It was a hamburger place. Burgers, fries. It seemed pretty good at the time. And then came back to the house. We actually just gabbed all night. We didn't play any more board games, which I was a little disappointed with. But the friend group was just happy to talk and shoot the shit. So I just kind of went with the flow. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, it hit me. I get up to go to the bathroom thinking I had a weird dream that like my stomach was bruised and it was black and blue. And then as I'm taking a pee, I'm like, ow, my stomach's starting to cramp. And the best way I can describe this, it felt like I swallowed a pyramid and you could track the movement of the pyramid through my intestines, moving left to right. Left to right and down, left to right and down.
Yeah.
And from 3 o'clock on, I did not really sleep. I was just like wincing in pain, trying to keep it down as this thing was moving through my system.
And your anus was turning into a Stargate.
That's the thing. I was like, I must have something I ate, must have had to take a big giant crap. I don't know what it is. I tried nothing. I tried to keep quiet and sleep or rest as long as I could because I knew we had our plan was the next day is to leave Lubbock, go north to Amarillo to go to this like Apple Comics, I think is what it was called, Big yeah. Apple Comics or something like that. And we were going, they opened at 11 and we were going to hit them and then drive all the way back to Oklahoma City. Well, I waited to the last second. The pain is not getting any better. And Gary then finds out about it. They want to help me. They bring me some Pepto-Bismol tablets. I'm like, I don't really want to take them because I'm stubborn. But I was like, I'll listen. So I took those. And within 15 minutes, my body goes, you need to throw up. Well, I go in there. And I do throw up. And it does look like it could have been food from the night before. Like the hamburger.
Okay.
Which I know is all gross, but we're adults, right? So I thought, ooh, maybe that was it. Maybe that's what I needed. And I took a shower. I get dressed. I'm weak, but I'm thinking like, okay, I think that did it. We stop for gas. I get just a Gatorade. And as we drive, it just, the pain returns. And I mean, it's awful. At every little bump I can feel, and I think I'm going to die. I'm starting to wonder now for real, like, is this the end? Am I going to die on this trip before I get home and Gary's going to have to weaken at Bernie's me all the way back home? We go into this Big Apple Comics or whatever it was called. They have some cool stuff. It reminds me of a comic store from like the 1990s. Matter of fact, there was like, do you remember the Jim Lee trading card game called C23?
Yeah.
They had packs of those. You could buy packs. There was like a booster box open and they had packs there.
Okay.
They had other old things like that around the shop and they had like weird prices. I mean, some books were like $4.22, $5.63. And talking to the guy, I guess they buy collections and they want to see what sells and doesn't. So they assign a weird number at the end of all those books. So if it was a $6 book, they'd just mark it down to $5.63.
And it's the 63rd collection. That's interesting.
So it was weird because we were like, why are all these prices so weird? Gary found quite a few things. I moved around the best I could. And eventually I finally just sat on the floor. And that's when Gary came around the corner and is like, dude, we got to go if you're hurting that bad. And I'm like, I'm sorry, man. And I was like, well, let me check a few things. If we're here, I better check. So I went and checked Transformers. I found Transformers 67, which is what I needed. It was like $20, but I was willing to pay that since it's hard to find. And this was in really good shape. And then I found a few more in little tiny books that were like $3 books. Some Trinity Angels that I was trying to buy and stuff like that. I get out of there only spending like $30. We get in the car. Somewhere along the line, hour and a half down the road, I go, maybe I need to eat. Because I am so weak. So yeah. I said, let's stop at a gas station. I'm going to get like a banana or something. Nothing sounds good. The banana is the only thing I'm willing to do. I buy a water and a banana, and I eat the banana, and it tastes wonderful. And I'm thinking, maybe this is what I need. And then it starts to cramp again. Like the pyramid is continuing to go through my system. finally, about 6:30, we get home. It felt like a 17 to 24 hour trip, even though the whole trip was like 6.5 hours. God. It was just freaking miserable. Jennifer comes over, checks on me, gives me some ibuprofen to help with stuff just for the pain. As soon as I take the ibuprofen, within 10 minutes, I feel my stomach going, "We're going to puke." It was so bad. I told Jennifer, I was like, "You need to leave." And she knew exactly why I was telling her that. She ran out the door. I get up. I go to the bathroom. I heave like 7 times. Nothing comes up. It's just dry heaves. It's just that gut-wrenching feeling of somebody wringing you out. That's always described throwing up as the thing that makes you feel most vulnerable, because yeah. It feels like a giant is just like wringing you out like a washcloth, and nothing came up. And I was like, "Oh, that's weird." And then finally my body conjured up some clear liquid, which was water. So at least I digested the banana and my body was trying to get something out of me. I get up the next day, stubborn. I'm going to go to work. Luckily I was in an area that they didn't need me all day. I finally went home at 1 because I was still feeling terrible. By this time, my daughter is texting me, "You need to go to the hospital. My friend's mom's a nurse, and she said your symptoms sound like you might be about to have a heart attack." Jennifer's worried. Jeez. We finally go to the doctor. Long story short, they can't really pinpoint anything, so they tell me I have a GI virus. It's like, no shit. WebMD could have told me that.
That's the worst GI Joe.
GI virus.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yes, I know it's all the stuff's happening in my gastrointestines. So let's just call it a plain virus. The next day I did not go to work. By about midday, I finally stopped experiencing pain. I finally had a couple of eggs. Later that night, I had a couple more eggs. So at this point, that's day 3 of this or whatever. I've had 4 eggs for the day, and you would have thought I had a buffet because I felt so full and everything. The next morning, I woke up and I kind of felt myself, but it for real wasn't until the following Saturday where I felt 100% myself.
Jeez.
Like, I was just exhausted and worn out. My stomach muscles were, like, tender and hurt. Just hurt.
Yeah.
Hurt. So I do not know what I had. I know some listeners are going to go, "Oh, you had this. You had that." I don't know. I know my daughter has pancreatitis quite often. And if this was – I even thought like that. I was like, maybe this is a bout of that.
Could be. Yeah.
I just ate too much things over the weekend and, you know, the insulin spike or whatever just got to me. Which possible, and if that's the case, man, I feel so bad that she's had that like 7 times in her life, because it is just miserable. But there you go. That was my Lubbock trip.
God, I remember coming back from Tulsa after a HeroClick event.
This is the hamburger place.
Yeah, we went to Fuddruckers, and just on that short drive back, I thought I was going to die. It's probably still one of the worst pains I've had. It's just gas. Whatever it did, it caused like a giant gas buildup in me. And I was just like, "Oh my God, I'm going to die." I can't imagine that for 5 hours. That would be miserable.
It just felt like I had a hand holding a pyramid, moving it through my intestines back and forth.
It's probably those peanuts.
What's that?
It's probably a peanut. Just going back and forth. A living peanut.
Maybe so. I don't know what it was. I haven't had any symptoms since. Thank God. But for real, it kicked my butt for almost a whole week. Because I just didn't feel myself. I even left work a few times early during that week. Just because I was like worn out by the end of the day and stuff. So. It was a terrible end to it. What normally is a very fun, like, comic book, board game, Blood Bowl type weekend really turned sour quick at 3 o'clock in the morning. Just awful.
Well, this is another episode of Old Man Complaining About Life and Pain.
Well, I'm not trying. I know.
But it was a lot for me. You're not wrong.
So I want everybody else to hear about it. The joys of going from, yes, I got second place out of 16 people, you know, didn't lose to Mike Patterson. All was like, all that joy went away really quick. And I was like, I would have took 0-3 just to not have that pain.
Oh, life is awesome. Oh, I wish I was dead.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. There was a few moments I was like, maybe this is your time. Because, you know, people are perfectly healthy and all suddenly they go to the doctor and then they never come back. So yep. I was like, sheesh. I've been trying to be positive and saying I'm going to live till I'm 93. And now this is happening. I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Pyramids in the colon and detached retinas.
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. So, anyways, overall, not a good trip to Lubbock.
Do not recommend.
But good results at playing some Blood Bowl.
You going down to Matador next month?
The plan is yes. If you would have asked me this 2 weeks ago when we started our weekly podcast,
yeah,
I would have said most likely no. Only because I don't feel like traveling 6 hours again to Lubbock.
No I know offense. That feeling. Yeah.
I'm about 85% sure as of now, but it really is still going to come down to probably like 10 days before just checking the money because my youngest daughter, who's the only one still left in high school, is going to St. Louis for Bands of America. So I want to check the money and we're going to have to. Her mother's for sure not going, so me and Jennifer are definitely going, and that's probably going to be at least 3 to 4 nights of hotel stay, et cetera, et cetera. Geez. Well, I mean, if we're going to get away, we might as well make a little trip out of it type
to deal. To St. Louis, of all places, though?
There's got to be something fun to do in St. Louis, right? I heard East St. Louis is really pretty.
It's not. Not at 11 o'clock at night, that's for sure.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
It's just right across the bridge, is what I heard.
No, I mean, if you enjoy going down a road and wondering why all the windows are opening and looking at you.
Oh.
That was a fun time. Yeah.
As of right now, I think we're going to travel up on a Thursday because we don't know if she's going to perform on a Friday or a Saturday.
So. Sure.
Anyways, I'm pretty sure I'm going to Lubbock, Texas for Matador Melee. It's one of my favorite tournaments to go to, so I don't really want to miss it. I just wish I could just teleport there. And I got to admit, I'm not going to probably eat at any of the same restaurants that I ate at this last trip. And there's some of my favorite restaurants we ate at, but I don't think I'm going to do that this time. I think we're going to try some new places.
Might be a good idea.
Because I don't think it was food poisoning or anything like that. And I know somebody goes, it was the cheese stick you ate on Friday. And I was like, affected me like 36 hours later, but whatever. It
could be. I mean, who knows?
Whatever it was, it's past. And in a couple weeks, I'll be probably itching to go play the game I hate the most, which is Blood Bowl.
Fair enough.
You know how that goes. But I did get to mark off, you know, I'm trying to play all 31 teams a second time or through the new rules. So I got to mark off Necro.
Cool.
And ironically enough, not that my ratings are that high, but I think it's the highest rated team I have now.
Nice.
Which I don't have anything in the 200s. So like,
no,
nobody, but I think it's just barely. Yeah. I'm So my Amazon team was my highest rated team with a 184.3. After this tournament in Lubbock, my Necro Horror team went up to 184.4. So I got a new highest ranked team.
For now.
That's right. But that's all I got, my man.
Hey, you want to do some shout outs real quick then?
Do we have some?
I got a couple.
You do? If you will actually, like, let's take a quick break, and I'll come back and yell, because I want to go get a shout-out that I was one to read today.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Both Down is brought to you by BigDealSwag.com. Check out Big Deal Swag for all your tournament swag and Both Down needs. Okay, we are back, and it's time for the final part of the show.
Shout out!
First off, I don't think we mentioned this last time, and we meant to. We have a new overall dwarf coach game.
Leader.
Did we mention this?
I don't think. Let's mention it again. Let's mention it again.
He deserves a second shout out. Extreme Brian Mitchell is now the most prolific dwarf coach. Period.
He has what, 379 games or something with just dwarves?
Something like that. I don't remember the exact number, but
over the Gen Con weekend, he played dwarves in I think two tournaments, which made him surpass the whoever was in the lead before. And believe it or not, I mean that's I must admit, I do love the fact that he loves dwarves so much, because in my heart of hearts, I love like the lore of dwarves and all that stuff, but just not good playing them. I'm just not.
Yeah, he hit the historical 373rd game played with dwarves round one on the Sanctuary Cup at Gen Con. And you can check out the 40 Miners on Facebook where he posts everything.
So the fact that he's done this kind of with the same fluff of the same team the whole time is really cool.
It is. And it's just mind-blowing that, I mean, he was doing that before we started the podcast, and now here we are, what, 14 years later, and he's still doing it.
I must admit, I've went to the, where it shows the numbers of who's played the teams the most, and I thought, maybe there's some team that's like, really low that nobody likes to play. Let's just say Nurgle, for example. I'll just secretly go for this, get it. And then I was like looking at the numbers that some people have played these teams, and there is nothing there that I see myself playing, because I only go to about 6 to 8 tournaments a year.
Yeah.
There is no way for like 3 years in a row I'm going to play like Nurgle or something like that.
You would have to want to, if you wanted to do that, you have to wait until a new team comes out and then just, every single tournament forever.
Right. And
still
I told myself, some people have that in them. Scott, your gimmick is you pretty much play with a different team every tournament.
Yeah.
Just continue with your gimmick. It's okay. So congratulations to Brian Extreme Mitchell from the Slurpcast podcast doing his 40 Miners thing. So that's pretty crazy.
It is. My other one, Russ Castronova, was nice enough to send me some comic books. So I got some issues of Knights of the Dinner Table. Haven't read those in ages. Did you ever pick those up back in the day?
I read that probably for like 3 to 4 years straight.
Okay.
It is a super wordy book.
It is. I forgot how much it was.
Super funny.
Yeah.
It is good. The art is very archaic, and I get it. I mean, that's the kind of the magic behind it too.
It's just
really
a very
bad,
simplistically drawn, verbose people playing around a dinner table D&D.
Right. But it's very wordy. It's, you think reading a comic from the a romance comic from 1964 is bad. Read one of those. But I think the price finally increased, and this was back before I was working at the shops, and I eventually dropped it. But I think for good 4 years.
I was looking at it in the beginning. They were $2.95 in the 90s. That's a lot. And I remember why I didn't pick them up.
Right. I remember having to go find them at the actual games headquarters
board game
shop, because that was like the only comic they carried and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. If anybody wants to send me some old Defenders, Phil, I'm on my quest to finish these. You know, I started reading Defenders from like 92 up, and I'm in the high tier 130s, still kind of enjoying them. I think I'm going to slowly pick up 1 through like 91 and try to read them.
Cool.
I don't think I'll like them as much as these that I'm reading, because I think Roy Thomas writes a lot of the other stuff, and I just don't care. I'm sure somebody who's 15 years older than me loves Roy Thomas's writing, because they grew up with him, not me.
It's very much a team that whenever I got a book of it, is like, oh, this is fun. Not something I care about, but fun.
Oh, no. You definitely can't. You just read it.
Yeah.
And just let it be. I have a shout out here. This was a handwritten letter. It says, Scott, hope these reach you safely. Because of you, Ricardo is in existence. I listen to every podcast you've made since 2014. Your love for the fluff is what really got me into playing Blood Bowl. Your specific episode where you featured Ricardo Ferminelli and called me out to make him did just that. I feel as if I know you better than... what does it say? I feel as if I know you better than the friends I see on a daily basis. You've opened up your heart. You opened up your heart, your heartbreaks, failures, as well as your successes on the podcast. Give yourself a shout out. You deserve it. This is from Mark Perry, who sent me a Ricardo Ferminelli miniature.
Cool.
And I'm giving the shout out to me, I guess. No, I'm shouting out Mark Perry. Thank you for the kind letter. Getting feedback through an email is really cool. Getting a handwritten letter is really feels even different. So I really appreciate that. And, you know, when we set out to do this podcast, we both agreed that you could hate us, you might love us, but what it is it's kind of like you sit down in our living room and we talk. And yes, so just like today, we talked about me puking up stuff and the pain of the travels and stuff like that. But at the same time, you also got to hear the good things that we've done through friends and family and Blood Bowl even, and great relationships that we've made over the years from many, many people that it's, when you think about it just from that angle, it's really hard to believe.
Oh, yeah. I still find it funny because sometimes I'll listen to a podcast, and if they're new, they do the whole, hi, welcome to so-and-so, and we are putting on podcast voices, and we're doing this and this and this. And I keep going back to, like, how long did we do that? Like, 2 episodes before we're like, this isn't us. Screw that.
No, I mean, we have good episodes. We have bad episodes. But we just try to be ourselves and see what happens.
Yep. I got no more shout outs.
You don't have no more?
I ain't got no.
I thought I had one more, but I'm trying to see if I can find it here.
We'll have to get Ricardo's made for the Ricardo Ferminelli Open next year.
Yes. If you're going to use like that model or something like that, yeah, you definitely should get that going.
I need to get those put on the NAF.
Well,
life.
I would like to shout out our friend Doomy, who's going through some health issues over in Australia. So hang in there, my man. We love you. We hope you recover well. I don't know what else to say, but, you know, we're praying for you and stuff, so we're rooting for you. You got anybody else?
No, I don't have anything. I'm sure if we have something, we'll talk about it next week.
Okay. Steve, I'm sorry I almost missed this.
That's okay. You made up for it. So.
And
nobody knows that we stopped the podcast just in time. Because as soon as Scott walked away from the screen for like half a second, it completely froze up.
Yeah, my internet just shut down for like 15 minutes. So
which it,
I guess good timing, right?
Was good timing.
So.
All right. Speaking of good times, we shall see you all next week.
Bye-bye.
You can follow Both Down on Twitter at Both Down. You can follow Scott at Fat Finley, FatFinley, and Steve at Kilowog2814. If you want to know if your team name is Both Down approved, send a tweet to @BDApproved. If you'd like to email them, the email address is BothDownPodcasts@gmail.com. Or for more information, you can visit them at BothDown.com or at Facebook.com/BothDown.
Phil, if you're gonna spew into this.